up through chapter 4. We've been in chapter 4 quite a while. And as we were going through the verses, we came to the fear of God. And we looked into that word fear in some depth on the last tape, which I don't know if I remembered to bring with me today. And I was just going through the mail, and I thought, oh my goodness, a letter by David Wilkerson on Judgment Day, because we've been talking about Judgment Day and that we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If we don't know him personally and have been again taking the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, then we appear at a white throne judgment of God at the end of the millennium or the 1,000 years, and we are then answering for our rejection of Christ, and we are thrown from there into the lake of fire. If we know Jesus Christ, we still answer for our lives, and we answer at a reward seat called the Bema seat of Christ. So we've been looking at that, and so I thought, and that's why we are to have a fear of God in this life. But on the day of judgment, we'll look at the Lord with boldness, nothing hidden, and I think we'll still be trembling, but we can have that assurance that we are in good standing if we have lived our lives in the fear of God. So I picked up this Judgment Day thing. I thought, how great, you know, Wilkerson's always right on in the Holy Spirit what I'm thinking about. It seems like he writes about, and I was so excited, and it was on the top of the pile, and it is 5/25/1992. Now, I have no idea how it got on the top of my pile, because I have it by months, and I have the current things there. And he says, but what is missing in the Church of Jesus Christ in these last days is the motivation, the awesome sense that one day we will stand before a holy God and give account of our every motive, thought, and action. We seldom, if ever, think of that day of judgment. The truth of a coming day of judgment is the very thing that produces serious godly believers, and those who put it out of mind are usually cold, careless, and indulgent. But the fact remains that, sometime soon, every person who has ever lived will be gathered to the place of judgment to be judged by Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus with all your heart and are cleansed by his blood, then your name is written in his book of remembrance. Such need not fear this message. In fact, it should bring great rejoicing to your heart as you see all that God has planned for those who love him. The Bible is very clear that those who've been abiding in Christ and looking for his appearing will have boldness and confidence on that day. That's what we looked at in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. But the unprofitable servant, I'm not going to go into all that, will be in great regret. You can look at this later. It says, are you willing? If you're willing, ask yourself these questions. Because if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. That's in 1 Corinthians 11. So if you keep submitting and saying, Lord, search my heart, Holy Spirit, test my way, show me if there be any wicked way in me, and you're continually walking in that attitude, then you will not be judged. Have you been longing and yearning for the coming of the Lord? Do you look for the day when he will appear? Now we really need, if we don't have that, to ask for it. And I didn't always have it. It took me a while. Well, I'm married to a man who looks for the Lord's coming every second. And it's great because, you know, it keeps me on my toes, but I wasn't used to it. And the day we got married, he said, well, why didn't the Lord come? You know, and I thought, he doesn't love me. He doesn't want to live with me. What is this, you know? And then, you know, my kids thought, well, I won't get married. I won't have children. I won't, you know, how you think in the logical mind. But when the Lord Jesus comes for us, everything will be much better than the best down here, I mean, but we get tricked. And so if you don't have that heart that has that, Lord, I hope you come today, and then you order your priorities under that hope, then ask the Lord for that heart. And then you'll be have the heart of the bride, and you'll be ready. It says, this world is not our home. But I ask you, are you putting down roots or are you pulling up roots? Praying, Jesus, keep my heart awake. Jesus said, occupy till I come. We must go ahead with our daily lives, but in every waking hour, our hearts should cry, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The second test that Mr. Wilkerson poses is, have God's enemies become your enemies? Are you engaged in battle against those who oppose God? Have you taken up his fight against the flesh, the world, and the devil? And we've been talking a lot about the flesh. Or are you pampering your flesh? Are you fighting it down? We are to hate the wickedness that's in the world. And do you just say, well, I'm not going to fight. I'm just going to wait. Jesus took care of everything. I don't have to fight the devil. Leave that to someone else. Then that shows that you've been moving into a lukewarmness, because these are the tests of examining our heart. Are you looking for the Lord's coming? Are his enemies your enemies, and are you actually fighting them? You cannot be neutral in these last days. And thirdly, he says, have you made a habit of forsaking the house of God, not assembling yourselves together? And so, just say, Jesus, I need you. I confess my sin and my stubbornness. I've neglected you, Lord. I haven't put you first. And from this day on, I make you my life, my everything. So this is the focus, because I pray for all of us that we would appear before the judgment seat of Christ with boldness and openness and nothing to hide and just really excited, although I think we always will tremble in the presence of God somehow. We talked about this word fear having two meanings in Greek. Phobos, we get the word phobia, and it means running away from something because you're afraid. And then the good part was reverence and awe for God. So the word fear has two meanings. One's you don't want, and one you do want. You don't want fear, which will cause you to run away and hide and tremble, because that fear is not of God. God does not give us a spirit of fear. But we want to reverence God and fear him. And we're going to find out through the word why. Because that is an odd concept today. It's not one that's taught much. And in the world that is going more and more new age, where we're only looking at one aspect of God, that's love, we don't see that his love encompasses judgment. Without judgment, it's meaningless. The Bible even says if you don't spank your child, you don't love him. If there's no discipline involved, then you don't care. Also, because God is holy and God is righteous, he must judge sin. So we've lost this, and I'm trying to bring it back through the study. So I looked up the Hebrew word for fear, which, just exactly like the Greek word phobos, the Hebrew word is yare, and I don't know if I wrote that on there, yare, and it means two things again. One, the emotional and intellectual anticipation of harm, what one feels might go wrong for him. And that's the same as being terrified, or dread, or running away because of fear. And secondly, a very positive feeling of awe or reverence for God, which is expressed in worship. And I picked that holy respect, because I think that's a wonderful phrase. Holy respect, or reverence. So tonight we're going to look at the fear of God in the scriptures and let them teach them itself to see, well, what is God saying by such a strange concept? And what will the fear of God do for us? What does the Bible say we should have this for? So we'll start out in Exodus 18:21. Moreover, You shall provide out of all the people able men such as fear God. This is the choice for the men who are going to rule Israel, judge Israel, and be what we would call the elders, and those in authority, and the pastors, and so on, the ones who are going to help Moses. And it says, pick such men as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And we see this fear of God paired with truth, hating greed, and we're going to see that same thought develop. The fear of God produces good fruit. God wouldn't ask you to have something that was bad for you. And his choice of people, you're going to see it over and over and over. I didn't even pick all the verses who fear him. And then we're going to try to discover, well, what is that? What does that mean? And so in chapter 20 of Exodus, going on, in verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings. This is, they're looking at Mount Sinai when God is giving the law to Moses. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove or test you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. It's the same in the Old Testament all the way through. It's in the New Testament. We must realize that God has all power. He has created you. He has created everything. He has the power of every breath you breathe. He has the power to send you according to your choice, to be with him or to be removed from him forever and ever. And we need to see that smoking mountain. Now, in that case, it was God's law, but we could say the law today, and we have, it does say, is all encompassed in love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. In that is all the law. And it's a relief, but it's still a very holy standard. And we need to look at that smoking mountain and realize that holiness of God and the power of God and the standard of righteousness, that the fear of God may be before our faces. Remember, that's respect. Some of us, we're not respectful people. And if you haven't been respectful to your parents, if you haven't been respectful to authority, you need to apologize. You need to repent to God and ask him to cleanse you from this attitude of rebellion and to get your heart in line with the word of God, that you might walk a straight and narrow path all the way to the end. It says here in this verse 22, verse 20 also, that the fear of God before our faces makes us not to sin. And that's real important, because it's over and over in the Bible, that same thing. The fear of God keeps us from sinning. And that's what the word says, and the word can't lie. So when we do have a holy respect for God, for his holiness, and then we ask for his heart and for our heart to be like his, then we will hate sin because he hates sin, and we won't want to displease him. It's not because he's up there with a big club to hit you over the head saying, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. No, he's a loving God who in his mercy has given you the power to obey him and walk in his way. And if you fear him, you will not sin. Now if we go to Deuteronomy, that's the fifth book, Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 4:10 specify especially the day that you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So it's something we learn. And I think, you know, the longer that we walk with God, the more we know his word, the more our fear should grow. It's a process. You know how in the beginning when you came to the Lord, you didn't think you were so bad? And the more you see Jesus in his holiness, and the more he closer you get to him, the blacker your heart looks in the flesh, and whenever you operate in the flesh. I heard one woman say, when I came to the Lord, I had drugs and alcohol and a terrible temper, and when I cleaned that up, I thought I was finished. That's when he just began. And she said, now, I even tremble when I don't put the shopping cart back where it says, put shopping carts here. But the fear of God is something that we learn, and the more we know him, the more we want to love him, and the more we understand who he is. 5:29. The Lord is speaking. If you'll notice in the verse before, and then he continues in 29, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. It's God's prayer for you that you have a heart that fears him. Well, why? Because you'll keep his commandments, and because it will go well with you and your children. See, God is interested in blessing you, and he will bless you. It says the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but if you really want to walk in the path of abundant blessing, obedience is that path. And so God is saying that we would have a heart that feared him in order that things would go well with us and our children. That's an incentive plan. 6:2. That you might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son's son all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. So there's another promise, long life. And again, fear of God linked to obedience. Not in the way that you're thinking about if you've had a especially if you've had harsh parents who made you obey, you might think God, if that's a problem for you, you need to forgive your parents, break all the judgments that you had against them for being harsh, and ask if that has given you a false idea of God, that this would be cleansed from you, that you might see God in his true person, in his true person, personality, if you will. 10:12, Deuteronomy still. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of thee but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 20, you shall fear the Lord your God. Him shall you serve, and to him shall you cleave and swear by his name. 1 Samuel 12. And Lord, we just pray as we go through the word that you would your truth, and we pull down any preconceived ideas we have. Lord, help us to have teachable spirits. And Satan, you cannot pervert and twist this thing into the wrong kind of fear. And we just ask for your spirit, God, to teach us what you mean. 1 Samuel 12:14. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both you and also the king that reigns over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Again, and every verse of Scripture, when you've gotten to a certain place, you can use it to repent. Lord, I repent that I have not feared the Lord all my days and served him all my days. I also ask forgiveness for my ancestors who did not fear you and serve you all their days. And I break the curse that would come from that rebellion, which is that the governor of the land in which I live would not follow God, and that the hand of the Lord would be against me. Lord, I ask your forgiveness, and I pray for that to be lifted from me. So you can use every verse of the Bible's repentance, because we've all broken them all, and if we haven't, our ancestors have. And Lord, help me to have a heart that will fear you, that I might obey your commandments and not be rebellious. We all have that flesh rebellion, you know. We have to put it down all the time. 24, verse 24, the same chapter. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be consumed. King, I'm afraid it's coming upon our nation, and perhaps if we prayed along these lines, that we have walked away from the fear of God in our country, and therefore our king does not fear God, and we might be able to come against some of this in prayer. 2 Kings 17. Second Kings 17:36. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall you fear, and him shall you worship, and to him shall you do sacrifice. Verse 39. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. God has brought us up out of Egypt, out of the world, with his stretched out arm, and he wants us to worship him. And fear is respect or worship. And he also promises deliverance for your whole life. 2 Chronicles 19. Verse 7. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. 9. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. On this, just to interrupt for a minute, on this sheet that I gave you out of one of my daily readings, I thought this is the point that we're trying to make through these verses. A reverential fear of God is a desire to avoid offending in word or deed the one we respect above all others. It is a love for him that inspires us to delight in his commandments. Godly fear deepens our sense of humility and leads us to see how unworthy we are of his love. If you go down in the column, I mean, read it all, but just before the scripture that's quoted in Hebrews, a reverential fear of God is a vital characteristic in the life of a Christian who is living to please God. And that's what we're talking about, and that's what we're trying to get to through the Word, to see what it means. So if you look at Job 28:28 now, that's the last book before Psalms. And unto man he said, Behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. It's written more than once in the Word of God that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so these are things we have to meditate on. You know how the word meditate actually means chew, like a cow chews its cud, or ruminate over and over and over and over and over and digest it. And so we go through a lot of verses tonight, but something like this is worth meditating on. I know the first thing that it meant to me, as I came out of an intellectual background and a lot of schooling, and so people accused me of being losing my mind, being stupid, giving up my intellectualism, giving up my thinking, that I suddenly had become stupid. And at first it intimidated me, you know. And this verse, that was the first thing it meant to me. The fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. I went, oh my goodness, that means people who don't know God aren't even wise yet. So don't you be intimidated. Because you fear the Lord and know the Lord, you are wiser than whatever percent of the world doesn't know him. I don't care how many degrees they have after their name. And as you fear the Lord, you will get wise. So that's another promise besides a long life, and that you'll stand in the presence of your enemies, and your children will be blessed, and all these things and that you'll have a pure heart toward God, and you won't sin. And I mean, we've looked at a lot of things. So it will make you wise to fear the Lord. So if you've never been able to go to college, or you've always wanted to be wise, this is the way. This is God's way. And when we depart from evil, we become women of understanding, intellect, good judgment, wisdom, and wise choices. Okay, and remember, Job was a righteous man. And he said things that were true, said some things that weren't too. So you have to be careful of the context. if we'll go to Psalm 2. And that is the other thing I realize, that we have to go quickly and we can't read the whole context. So I always encourage you to go back and read what's in front and read what's behind and read the whole chapter at least. Psalm 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Doesn't that sound like a paradox? Well, things of the Spirit are often seeming paradoxes to the intellect. So we've got to say, God, show me what you mean. Rejoice with trembling. Yeah. And the same will be happening at the judgment seat, probably. 4:4. Going to go pretty fast. So you pick up the theme. Would you believe I didn't do them all? Psalm 4:4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. That's the same thing as fear, the word awe, when we really respect someone. Have you ever seen a king or queen, or been in the presence of a famous person? We don't have royalty in this country, but someone you really respected, maybe it even happened before you were saved and you thought you were full of awe for them. Maybe you were 12 years old and it was Elvis Presley or something. But even in the world, you defer. I mean, you know, you feel like really trembly and you want to bow down and you feel humble and deferential. If the president, Lord bless him, reached out to touch your hand, no matter what you thought politically, because of his position as president, you would have an awe. And so how much more for the one who is on the throne of the universe? And so he says to us, wherever that was, stand in awe and sin not. Again, it's tied to not sinning. So maybe if your temptation to sin in a certain area is really, really strong, after you rebuke the spirit of whatever, if you think it might be demonic, and you break or you find the doorway where it might have come into your life, perhaps the problem is that you haven't feared God, and you can talk to God about that and ask Him for that holy fear, because the fruit of it will be not sinning. And it'll give you more power in that area of temptation where you're having a problem. Psalm 15:4. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord. He that swears to do his own hurt and change it, he that swears to his own hurt and changes not. And so another promise of fearing the Lord. What is it? Thank you. He honors him. God honors you. Lord, just keep my mind on this. 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So the fear of the Lord is holiness. And we will become more holy by having the fear of the Lord. 25:12. What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. More promises. God will teach you more about himself and his ways when we fear him, and he will reveal more secrets to you. And you can ask him if you're walking in the fear of God when you read the word, Lord, give me deeper understanding. Give me some special revelation. Give me more knowledge of who you are. And if you're walking in the fear of the Lord, that will be granted to you. 31:19. Our Proverbs 31 woman. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear thee, which you have wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of man. You shall hide them in the secret of your presence from the pride of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. A lot of people quote these promises, and they claim these promises. Lord, you know, you will hide me from the strife of tongues. I claim that thing, and I want that thing. But some of them are conditional to, as far as the degree that you can have them. I believe he provides everything for his children. But it says, for those who fear him, he will hide them. In his presence, you will have more safety, less fear of man, more refuge, and you will have a security from the strife of tongues, which all of us come under in our walk, sometimes really heavily. We're promised to go through that trial. False accusation, mocking, taunting, all sorts of things, because the Lord went through that. But if you're walking in the fear of God, you will be safe through that time. That's another promise. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And verse 18 of that psalm. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Sounds like a great promise. And as things get more and more desperate on this earth, and some of us entering into famine and poverty now, we have a promise to be kept. There are many promises, but I'm relating it today to the fear of God, and I want you to see that it's a good thing. Don't let New Agers or other people talk you out of the fear of God and say, well, what do you mean you have to be afraid of God? And what kind of God do you serve? I serve a God of love. What we're looking for is an answer from the Word about what this is all about, and to have an answer for every man that this is a God of love, that this is what He's like. And He does this that you might be blessed, because all the verses linked to it are promises of good things, including that He would choose you to be a leader over men and choose to use you. That was back in the early ones. 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear Him and delivers them. Promise of deliverance. Verse 9. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. You won't lack anything. 11. Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 60, verse 4. You have given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. You know, God is our banner, Jehovah Nissi, and we think of that banner. We think of victory in war, because an army carries a banner in front of them. We have a banner if we fear the Lord, and it is a banner of truth that will be displayed before all men, and it also implies that we will defeat our enemies under that banner. I'm going to have a hard time keeping my place here. 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. So this is our prayer tonight, that God would teach us to fear Him, that we would learn to fear Him, and that our hearts would be united with His through that fear, that we might walk in His truth. Thank you, Lord. 89:7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. That's what we are. And to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. That speaks for itself. Psalm 103:11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. 13. Like as the Father pities His children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. Now that's a, well, let me read 17 and then come back. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. More promise. For those that fear Him. But that word pity is King James, so you may think of it like pity today, where we give somebody counsel and we go, oh, that's so terrible. And we also allow ourselves self-pity. It doesn't mean that. God doesn't pity us. The word means to fondle, soothe, cherish, love deeply like parents. Isn't that a beautiful word? To be compassionate, to have mercy, like a parent to a child. And so when we fear God, His compassion and mercy are on us. Psalm 111:5. He has given meat unto them that fear Him. He will be ever mindful of His covenant. That means the same, kind of what we saw before, He keeps us from famine, and that He provides food. Meat can be food, spiritual and physical, because we saw both in the scriptures that He will keep us in famine. Of course, that could be spiritual or physical as well. And also that He, that skipped my mind. well, Lord, bring it back to me. He's given meat unto them that fear him. Oh, that he gives revelation of his secrets to those that fear him. So whether the meat you want is physical food or spiritual food, they both apply. He will give meat to those who fear him. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Same thing as in Job. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. 112:1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and that delights greatly in his commandments. So blessing is promised. Notice, too, how many verses of fearing God are linked to obeying the commandments, because they go together. And maybe you're a little bit slack and lazy about obedience. So go home and pray for fear of the Lord. 115:11. You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. That's more promises that, wait a minute. Lost it again. That he will be our help and our shield. If we fear him, we trust him. Verse 13, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. 119:63. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. So we have God's companionship. That's the same as the verses that say his presence will be with those that fear him. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. This is very similar, if not identical, to 1 John 4:17, that when we see God on the day of judgment, we will have boldness, because we have feared him, because we know him and he is our friend. So if we walk in the fear of the Lord all our lives, we will be glad when we see him. The fear that makes you want to hide from God and not face him at the end of your walk with him is the bad kind of fear. And if you have that, then rebuke it and get rid of it and find out where the source is and repent and so on. But this fear of God will bring gladness whenever you see God. You can walk like we talked about. If you respect authority, I mean, that's such a mundane example, but if you're a law-abiding citizen, just to make it real down-earthy level, you don't fear the police because you haven't broken any law. And you don't, when you're driving, you don't look around for someone because you're not breaking the speed limit. And you don't fear them knocking on your door to arrest you because you're law-abiding. And it's the same here, that if we fear God, we'll walk in his commandments, we'll rejoice whenever we see him. 128:1. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. And 128:4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. 145:19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Those sound like good promises to me. Do you want your desires answered? Fear the Lord, and he'll hear your cry. 147:11. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Now to Proverbs. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 2:1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that you incline your ear into wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. 3:7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. 8:13. I'm going fast through these. I want to get to the New Testament, but I don't want to skip them. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the forward or perverse mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 14:2. He that walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him. Verse 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is confident. 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children have a place of refuge. Okay, I'm going to move. You read the rest of the Proverbs. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 2. The ones we're not reading, you can read for yourself so that we aren't here all night. Isaiah 2:10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. 19, verse 19. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. That's the side of the part we don't want to be on. And if we fear the Lord, as we've been reading, as his people, as his saints, then we will be glad when we see him. And we're not among this group. Praise the Lord. Let's look into the New Testament now. I mean, there's some, maybe Malachi before we go in. That's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 1:6. If I can get to it. Okay, Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? And I think a lot of the church is here right now, not fearing the Lord. It could be a whole generation, because the overbalance of grace, and grace is everything, but a lot of people have come to the Lord since the 60s with, ask not what you have to do for the Lord, but what he will do for you. And he will do this for you, and he will do that for you, and you don't have to do a thing. And that's why I'm spending time on this study. And God is saying that to his priests, who are all his saints. Where is my fear if I'm your master? Where is my fear? And if we don't fear him, we have despised his name. And then if you go to Malachi 3, if you're like me and someone says Malachi 3, I already start to tremble, because they use it for tithing. Have you robbed God? Wherein have you robbed God? And then they take an offering, And they usually, and that's, it's valid. I mean, tithing is important. And if you want to be under the blessing of God, that is, you know, something you need to obey. But they never read on to verse 16, you know, and one day I read on, because Malachi is full of God rebuking the church, which is, at that time, Israel, I mean, the Jews, about how far they've gone away from him. And then this verse just, oh, it just warmed my heart. Even in the midst of all of this that the church is in, and the sin and the apostasy and the irreverence of God, not fearing him, there are some who do. And that's what we're praying to have, is that heart that will bless God so he will be pleased. It says in 16, then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Isn't that wonderful? And I feel that that's what's happening right now within the church. If we go on to 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serves him. We want to be in that company that fears the Lord. And that company of those that fear the Lord will be spared, and we'll be glad when we see him, because we'll be among his jewels. And it will be, so it's something good. It's something we want to go for. And it doesn't matter what's happening where. We just want to get our hearts right so that we will know what to do. And 4:2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. I don't know about the comparison to calves, but that Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings is used a lot, but I never heard the fear of the Lord stressed in relation to that. And so there's another promise, and considered a promise for healing of whatever physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual healing you need. Now let's go to Luke 1:50. And his mercy, this is Mary's prayer after the angel told her she would have Jesus. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And that's in the New Testament for us to read. And again, it's a promise to our children as well as to ourselves. Luke 12, verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That's God. And a lot of us have fear of man, fear of the devil, fear of, no. We shouldn't fear the devil in that, but we ought to know our enemy and stand up in the power and the name and the authority of Jesus, and don't say, oh, well, he can't do anything. I mean, you know, don't go that far. But no, the one we're to fear is God, has the power for your eternal destiny. Awesome. Awesome God. We don't know what that word awesome means anymore, I guess, because it's been slangized or whatever. Awesome. But it means full of awe, respect. And that Romans 11:20. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also not spare thee. These verses are speaking to the Gentile church, or the Jew and Gentile in the church age, it's more accurate. And he says, if he cut Israel off, for because of unbelief, don't you be proud, but fear, because you could be cut off too. If he spared not the natural branches, he may not spare you. That is a holy means walk in obedience in his commandments. Read that and meditate on it some more. 2 Corinthians 7:1. These are things in the New Testament. We're still told to fear him. The God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always. Unchangeable. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's how we are changed from glory to glory. As we walk in the fear of God, God can perfect us, mature us, it means. And it keeps us from sin or uncleanness. It's just exactly what we read in the Old Testament. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, that's the verse that everyone leaves out before wives submit yourselves to your husbands. You ought to know where it is. We are to submit ourselves to each other. In the body of Christ, we've been talking about that, how to esteem each other more highly than ourselves and to love one another and to die to self. And this is in relation to the husband and wife, but it is also true in the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And the only way we can do it is the fear of God. And remember that. You're not submitting to the person, to the boss, to the husband that drives you crazy or whatever, but unto the Lord in the fear of God, and because of obedience. And he'll take care of you because you fear him, and then all those things, all that protection will come upon you. 6:5, Ephesians 6:5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. You see, the fear of God translates down into the practical living out of reverence for authority, be your husband or your boss or whatever, as unto the Lord. Philippians 2:12, next book. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Another difficult verse. And I'm not saying I have all the answers on it, but the way I try to explain things is there's two parts, because this will solve a lot of the arguments between Christians that go on endlessly. Once saved, always saved, can you lose your salvation, and all this stuff. Did you choose God? Did he choose you? And I maintain that, you know, you don't have to do, and then the another one, you don't have to do anything. It's all in Christ. You don't have to, you know. But you don't have to fight the devil. You don't have to break curses. You don't have to repent from sin. You know? It's all true. It's both true. Salvation is a free gift. Jesus Christ died, but you've got to accept it and say yes. And then when you do, you're saved. But it's a process until you are there before the Lord, face to face, when it's complete. And in that process, you work it out with fear and trembling, meaning fear of God, not the hiding kind of fear. You know? And if you've got the wrong kind of fear, terror, dread, then we can pray with you, or just do it yourself, offer it to the Lord. We're not talking about that. But the awesome fear of God and wanting to obey him. work out your salvation. Doesn't that sound odd? And then, you know, we say not by works, and that's true. But it says somewhere else that our work is to believe on God. That's work. It says our work is to die to ourselves. That's work. Our work is to pick up the cross daily and follow Jesus. Our work is to abide in the vine. That's work. That's working out salvation with fear and trembling. Because you notice in verse 13, it is God that works in you. But it is, you work it out, but it is God who works in you. It's both true. Your part is submitting and letting him work in you. Okay, I know this is brief for difficult subjects, but I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3, 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. It's the same message. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. Again, the obedience in this life to your masters, to authority, not being rebellious, is tied into the fear of God. And it is as unto God that you do it. If your boss leaves the office, you don't stop working and, you know, work your crossword puzzle or talk to your friend, because you are fearing the Lord and you are doing it as unto him. And do not fool yourself. You will be rewarded accordingly. This other sheet somewhere, we had it when we did Revelation, and we won't take time to read it now, but I do want you to read it at home. And it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, and we had another list as well of some of the things that God will judge us for. And they aren't all on there, because this one's not on there. The one we just read, which is obeying your earthly masters, is also a question of reward or lack of reward. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 28. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God according acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. It's all over the place, isn't it? And it says it's God's grace that enables us to do it. Well, it's God's grace that enables us to do everything. You know, it's his grace that gives us the faith we need and everything. But ask for it. Lord, I need your grace to be able to fear God and reverence you. And it is his grace that enables us. But it says in 1 Peter, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. We just have to let him. Verse 21 was real interesting. That was an afterthought, so you can put it there. Hebrews 12, 28, 29. I noticed verse 21. Because read the whole chapter, but it talks about back in Exodus, when Moses was receiving the law and the people shook because they saw the smoke and they had this fear of God. But in Hebrews we learned another fact. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Moses was also quaking. And if he had the fear of God and he was a man that looked, talked to the Lord face to face, we need to see that this is a godly thing we're talking about. And if you've been taught differently, if you've been attacked by some of the false teachers out there, or false doctrines or false cults, you now should have some ammunition to see. It's all through the Word. All through the Word. And it is a godly thing. And Moses feared and quaked. And that isn't back in the Old Testament, so I thought that's worth bringing up in here in context. If he did it, we're in good company. 1 Peter 1:7. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That's a direct, clear statement. Knowing that we're going to answer for everything before the Lord. We don't want paranoia now. You know how we do it? We do it every day, one day at a time. We wake up and we say, Holy Spirit, fill me. And we say, Lord, I pick up my cross. I just help me die today to me. And for me, it's always a matter of planning. I made up my day the day before. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And so I have to die to that every day, first thing of the day. And it's hard for me. Lord, help me listen to you, obey you. I don't want to miss my reward. I don't want to miss what you have for me because it's what I want to do. It's kind of just a daily dying, many times a day, dying to your will, saying, Lord, I want to abide in you. I love you. I want to see you. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. And it happens. And that's how we work out our sojourning, our salvation in fear and trembling, knowing who he is, getting to know him better. It's not like the world as reward system, you know, being promoted in a job or something, but God uses what we can understand. He tries to help us, and he says it isn't wrong to do that. We are supposed to run the race and to win, and we are supposed to go for the crowns, and we're, you know, all that sort of thing. It's not wrong. And yet, it's a poor, you know, it doesn't tell us what to do. But our work is believing God. Our work is surrendering, the dying to the flesh, and not pampering ourselves. 1 Peter 3:2. While they behold, this is wives. Let's go up to verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And that is your whole way of life, is to be in respect of God, like the Proverbs 31 woman. The fear of God is upon her, and therefore she is blessed, and her reward will be great. So, holy way of life coupled with fear. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you in reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Interesting. Revelation 19:5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So we will be able to face that day in gladness, in boldness, and hopefully we'll be there to number ourselves among those who fear his name. And so I want to draw your attention to what the word says, and look how important it is. I mean, even though we didn't read them all, that isn't even a fraction of how often it's in the word of God. And we know that if God says it once, it's enough. But look how much it's there. And I know that he knew we'd have a problem understanding it. And so he tries from this way and that way to embellish it and describe it and praise it and exhort us to do that. And so, Lord, we just come to you right now, Lord. We pray for deeper understanding of this fear of God. And Lord, as these verses have convicted us, as your Holy Spirit has put a light on where we may be missing this or have misunderstood this, Lord, correct us. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a guide. It is the truth. And we've received many lies along the way. And even the word fear brings fear to us. So God, we offer up all our doctrines of demons, our misconceptions, our misunderstandings, the things that we've been taught that are incorrect, incomplete, not right. We pull down every stronghold, every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Right now, in this, especially on this subject, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we know that we will have to have an answer for every man because that is, we just read it. And this accusation is going to come at us more and more and more. Oh, you're people of hate. Your people of fear. Your God is mean. Your God says to be afraid of him. And Lord, I pray that you will enlarge our answer on this subject and that you will shine the light on our heart to show us what it means and that this is a thing that you greatly desire in your saints and even in your women. In particular, you have verses about that. And Lord, we want to be women of godly fear. We want to be women who are able to be wise, and we want to be women who can run to you for refuge and claim all those promises for those who fear the Lord. So we now tell the spirit of fear, which is dread and terror, to leave us in the name of Jesus, and fear of men and people-pleasing and things about fear that are not fear of God. We don't want them. Things that make us run and hide and cower and run away from you, Lord. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So we tell every fear to go in Jesus' name. But Lord, we ask for godly respect and reverence. And Lord, if we have not been respectful to our parents, to our teachers, to our leaders, whatever, our bosses, Lord, forgive us. We repent, and we break the curse that came upon us for not doing so because it breaks your word, because we were not honoring you. And we just break the judgments that we made against those in authority over us from whatever age it was. If we never offered it to you before, we now repent. And we tell that spirit of rebellion to leave us. And Lord, help us to be godly, respectful people, respectful women. Help us, Lord, to submit to our husbands as unto you. And Lord, I have really been rebellious this week, in the last 3 days, too, with my mouth, with my mind, with my attitude. Lord, forgive me. I have not been fearing you. And it's just a sure sign when rebellion comes up that we, somewhere along the line, we forgot who you were and what you ask of us. And Lord, if we've been sinning in a certain area, perhaps the problem is that we didn't fear God, because the fruit of fearing God is to depart from evil and to quit sinning and to have the power to obey. So Lord, if this is our problem, I ask that you speak to us now and this week. And whatever else, Lord, we learn tonight, make it deeply personal that we might walk and work out our salvation with holy fear, and that we look forward to the day of reckoning, because we can look at you in boldness and in rejoicing, because we know that you know us and we know you, and we know and seek your face and understand who you are, a God who's all-powerful, but a God who's all merciful. And we just praise you, Lord, and we thank you. And we, those who feared the Lord, talked together and gave testimony and praised your name and feared not famine, nor strife of tongues, nor any other evil thing. In Jesus' name, amen.